Amy, thanks very much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. So what I'd love to know first up is, how did sexual behaviour come across your radar in your work as a neuropsychologist, and why you decided to write a book about it?
Well, it all started about 20 years ago in 1999 when I started my PhD. And the topic of my PhD was changes in sex drive and behaviour in people who had neurosurgery or brain surgery for epilepsy. So quite a unique topic. And during that PhD, I read all the medical literature on cases of changes in sex drive in brain conditions. And I thought it was really fascinating. The topic really hooked me, and I thought it would make an interesting popular science book. And then, I mean, that was 20 years ago. And over the last two decades, I've worked as a clinical neuropsychologist with patients. And sometimes they raise the fact that they've had a change in their sex drive in their assessment with me. And I realised over time that no one had written a book on this topic, and I thought, well, maybe I should do that. And I was motivated to do it because I think it needs to be acknowledged that these changes can occur in people with brain conditions, and it's very rarely discussed. But, you know, sex is an important fundamental part of our lives, and when those changes are dramatic, it can really have a devastating impact on people's relationships.
Yeah, and now I've got to know, you address this in your book. What are the sexiest brain bits?
So, yeah, I talk about the parts of the brain that when they get injured or are affected by a brain disease like dementia can lead to changes in sex drive and behaviour. So I call these the sexiest brain bits. And it's not just one part, but it's a widespread network of different brain regions. So sex is complex. It involves movement and emotions and social cognition, so many parts of the brain are involved, and I call it the sexual neural network, you know, that sort of widespread network that involves the whole brain. But the main parts are the frontal lobes, which are behind our forehead, the temporal lobes, which are behind our ears, and really the sexiest brain structure is a part of the temporal lobe called the amygdala. And it seems that when this gets damaged or injured, there's a high likelihood of changing sex drive or behaviour.
And in what ways can sex change the brain?
Yeah, so in the book I discuss three different brain conditions that sex, or specifically orgasm, can trigger. And they're quite rare, but they do occur. The first is that an orgasm can trigger seizures in people who have temporal lobe epilepsy. It can also trigger a condition called transient global amnesia, which is a sudden amnesia or loss of memory. And an orgasm can also trigger in people who have a pre-existing brain aneurysm, which sort of is a malformation of the blood vessels in the brain. It can rupture that brain aneurysm and cause a stroke. So they're quite dramatic brain conditions that can be triggered by sex. But as I said, they're relatively rare.
Yeah, and how would you like to see attitudes to sex research and public discourse around sex change as a result?
Well, I think it really needs to be discussed more, and it needs to be acknowledged that these changes can occur in the context of a neurological condition. You know, as I said, it's a fundamental part of our lives. We really need more research to understand sex. There's still a lot that we need to learn and understand. And there's certain sort of sexual disorders like pedophilia, which have really devastating consequences for everyone involved. And we can only prevent these sort of conditions by understanding what causes them and what triggers people to offend. So there's a lot of research that needs to be done. And I just hope my book contributes to increasing awareness and understanding of these issues.
Yeah, and before we let you go, is there a favourite fact of yours about the brain and sex that you can enlighten us with?
Well, one of my favourite cases in the book is a case called Harry, and it's a case study that was written in the 1950s, and Harry had a sexual fetish for safety pins, which
wow.
is really unusual, and he had temporal lobe epilepsy, and he just loved safety pins, and, you know, they gave him sexual satisfaction. So it's a really strange case, but a fascinating one. And when Harry had temporal lobe surgery to cure him of his epilepsy, he was also cured of that fetish for safety pins. And I just, although it's an old case and it's buried in the medical literature, I just found it such a fascinating, rare condition to have a fetish for safety pins, but also the fact that when his temporal lobe was removed and he was cured of his epilepsy, he was also cured of that fetish. I think it really encapsulates the fact that our temporal lobes are an important part of controlling our sexual lives.
Absolutely. Fascinating stuff and very important research. Unfortunately, we've run out of time this morning, but thank you very much for joining us. We've learnt so much.
Thanks for having me.